Well, let us continue with the word. We were talking about soul ties, but we want to come to the positive side of this, of our deliverance, delivering the soul. Amen?
Yes.
Our soul can be delivered from the bondage of darkness.
Amen.
Amen? I want everybody to understand this. This word is not just for one or two of us. This word is for every believer. Every human being needs to be delivered in some manner or another from the bondage of Satan. Amen? Getting saved is not enough. Amen? Getting saved gets us forgiven. Amen? It takes away the penalty of hell if and when we should die. But it does not automatically bring us deliverance from things that have held our soul in bondage. The nature of Adam is still on us. Amen? We begin to walk in the newness of light and the life that we have in Jesus Christ when we are forgiven. Amen. But we need to we need another step. Amen. And yes, we also need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need that too. But you know, we can sin even after you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Come on, you know that. Amen. It's the desire of God to bring us into a place where we are walking in the nature of Christ. He desires us to come into a place like He is, a place of perfection. Amen. Now, I'm not talking about something we can do with our own human efforts. Amen. I'm talking about a place that we can come into where we are completely and totally hidden in Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And brethren, I'm saying the time is going to have to come when we will walk, amen, from the holy place into the most holy.
Amen.
Amen. And we will remain there. I don't know any human being to this day that lives in the Holy of Holies. Amen. I've had some visits, I've had some visions, amen, but I haven't lived there. And when I came out of the place where I visited there, I said, Lord, that was a good place. I'd like to go back, amen, but I'm not sure I want to suffer the way I had to suffer that got me there. I don't need to go and have another heart attack, and I don't need to lay and almost die. Isn't there another way for me to get into that place, Lord? And I believe there is. Now, we're going to look at a verse in Hebrews. We're talking about delivering the soul. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And it says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses,
amen,
let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Now, the word that is written here, if we believe that Paul wrote this word, I do believe that he did, although some say maybe Apollos wrote it. It doesn't matter. It's the word of God. It's saying that, first of all, let's look at this verse. First of all, we are compassed about with a cloud of witnesses. Amen. Now, who are these people that are compassing us about? They are witnesses. They are human being witnesses that are surrounding around about us. And it says a cloud of witnesses. Amen. Now, a cloud sort of represents something spiritual, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You look at a cloud, you can't see anything identifiable or individual in a cloud. Amen. But a cloud is evidence that something is there. Amen. So there's an invisible cloud of witnesses that are watching us. Do you believe that we're being watched? Is it possible they are seeing my mistakes? Is it possible they're hearing things that I say that I wouldn't want anybody to hear?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, I don't know how much God lets them see and lets them hear. I'm sure they're in a place where they're not going to be allowed to be fed on darkness anymore. So maybe He shuts their eyes when I don't make it. But when I overcome, surely they're seeing it. And the Word of God says that we without them, they without us, they're not made complete. So they're waiting for something to happen in us. They're waiting for something to happen in the last generation that is going to show them that the fullness of God has been manifest and has been worked, the thing that it was intended on earth among people. Hallelujah. They're waiting for that. Now, the Word is saying, since we are surrounded by these who are watching. Amen. You can name some of the saints that you know. They may be watching us here today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Some that have gone on to be with the Lord. You know, I've often asked, why would they want to be here? You know, if they have a choice in the matter, where would they go? I believe the only place they would want to go is where the name of the Lord is being lifted up.
Amen.
Just to go to some place where there's death, they wouldn't want to go there. They're saints. They can go anywhere that God would let them go. And nobody would see them. Nobody would know they were there. So I believe, you know, we were lifting up the name of the Lord today, weren't we?
Amen.
Was not the Spirit of the Lord present with us today? Amen. And I believe that the Lord was with us here today as well. You know, I like that song. Let us sing. Let us dance. Singing is a pleasure to the Lord. Amen. And dancing is a joy to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You know, I got to tell you a story. Maybe I told it before. If I have, please forgive me. It was in 1981 that I first went up to Newcomb with Sister Janet. We were just married in 1981, and we went up and began to preach the Word up there in that mountain. Anybody know where Newcomb, New York is?
I know where it is.
You're the only one here that knows where it is? Yeah, some of you know where it is. It's in the area called the High Peaks of the Adirondacks. And we were living and ministering there, and I worked in North Creek. You know where North Creek is?
I don't know.
At a nursing home in North Creek, and I was the administrator there.
Beautiful place at North Creek.
Yes, it is. It's a beautiful but kind of rugged place. Yeah. And gets kind of cold up there in the wintertime. But we went to the town hall. And we had meetings in the town hall. It was just a group of about a dozen people. And the town hall wasn't but about a third the size of this room here. And we got singing and praising the Lord, and some people got dancing. And Sister Janet had a vision. And she saw the Lord dancing. She saw His feet. She saw His long garment, and it was flipping and flashing about, you know, as His feet were dancing. And she said, whenever we got to the name Jesus, He would stop, and He would bend His ear, and He loved to hear His name. And then we would sing, and He would dance, and His feet. She saw His feet going. And just from her description, I could almost see it. I could see the feet of Jesus in that long garment. He was just kicking and going and just enjoying the... He was enjoying fellowship with us.
Amen.
Is what He was doing. Amen? Now, seeing that we are part of the heavenly Zion, which includes us,
amen.
Which includes Jesus.
Amen.
Which includes the blood.
Amen.
Isn't that interesting that the blood is included as if it were a living being?
Amen.
Amen. It includes the Father. So seeing that we are compassed about, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Now, you might be interested in knowing what this lay aside the weight actually means. Did any of you ever look it up in the concordance?
Well, heaviness. Mm-hmm.
Fatty bulges. Let us lay aside the fatty bulges and the sin. Now, why would we lay aside these things? Let's talk about a natural race. If you're going to be an Olympic racer, you can't weigh as much as I weigh.
No.
No. Now, I don't have a lot of fatty bulges, but nevertheless, I have more than I need. Okay? And I would have to trim that down because I don't, if I'm running a race, I don't need to be carrying an extra 30 or 40 pounds on my back.
Right.
It's going to slow me down.
Amen.
And this is what Paul, shall we say, is saying that by the Holy Spirit in this word, let us get trim.
Right.
Spiritually trim.
Amen.
Let us be disciplined. Amen. Let us be diligent to the things of God, which I think Randy was saying to us also this morning. And let us not only that get trim, but let us lay aside sin. What kind of sin? The sin that doth so easily beset us. Now, what would be our besetting sin? Yes, it's tailor-made for everybody. What was that phrase? Did any of you remember, any of you read Mr. Pegalo lately, where he had the vision of this Mr. Pegalo on his way down the broad path into hell, and they went through turnstiles, and each one, I guess, was given a choice of what kind of sin do you want to have your besetting sin? I mean, they didn't say it this way. What kind of dark pleasure? All right, this one maybe wanted alcohol. This one maybe wanted to be involved in drugs. This one wanted into some kind of a crime of thievery and what have you, you know. This one wanted sexual pleasures. And each one was eventually made a choice of what their besetting sin was going to be. And then, of course, the devil would then feed them and bring them, and then they'd have to pay for it. And, you know, you pay for sin. You have to pay. And they paid and they paid till they ran out, that they had nothing more to give. And then the last payment was their soul that they had to give. Now, you see, we've talked about the things that are besetting to our soul. Soul ties, okay? The thing that puts a hold on your soul. The thing that puts a grip on your soul. And I want to give you some, we've been through all this, you know. Some people it's food. You know, for some people it's sickness. Do you realize that? That, you know, there's a mental, emotional, melancholic things, and mental things too. It's part of sin. We don't have to receive these things, brethren. No, we don't have to allow them to dwell on us. I'm talking about getting delivered from these things. Love of money. Did you know that? The love of money is what? The root of all evil. In fact, that would be the root of some of these other sins as well. The love of it. Amen? Familial spirits. We talked about familial spirits, didn't we? Things that come down from our ancestors. Tradition, we call it. Oh, we have our culture. We have our tradition. No, we don't. We have only one culture, and that is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That is the only thing that counts. Everything else in my traditional background has to go.
Amen.
You know, you can name all your traditional backgrounds that you've got here. Me, German, everything of my German background has to go. Everything that makes me Germanic.
Yeah.
Amen?
Mennonite,
yes, that's a religious spirit. Everything in our religious tradition.
Yes.
Has to go.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, what are these attachments and how are we free from it? Look over in the Gospel of John, chapter 14.
Mm.
Brother John, amen. It's Jesus speaking. John 14. And we're going to take you down the page to... I got to get John 14 here first. I better look up the verse. John 14, it's way down in verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Nice.
Now, do you know what that means? That means there is nothing on me that he can attach his holds. I'm not interested in his political offers.
Right.
He offered him, I'll give you the whole world. In other words, Jesus could have been some kind of a world dictator under Satan as a man. He said, not interested.
Amen.
I'm paraphrasing. Get behind me, Satan.
Amen.
You know? I'm not interested. He could have offered him alcohol. He could have offered him sex. He could have offered him whatever it is, money. Whatever people are interested in, Jesus would have said, I'm not interested. It doesn't have any hold on me. One day I was asking the Lord how this worked. And if you don't mind, I'm going to draw a little something on the board here. Have any of you, what is that substance called that they, the new shoes, the sneakers, they pull it over and it sticks?
Velcro.
Velcro.
Oh.
It's a picture of Velcro. Okay? Now, here's Satan's thing. And if you look at Velcro under a microscope,
two different ways.
It has these hooks.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
All kinds of little hooks.
Right.
And on the other side of this thing, our garment side, it has all this woolly stuff. Okay? Now, when this comes to this, 100 little hooks grab into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way Velcro works.
Right.
All right? Now, here's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me.
Amen.
Do you know what happens when you put that Velcro up against a real slippery, shiny surface? Nothing holds. Amen. And this is what Jesus was saying. This is the prince of this world. He cometh with his hooks, trying to find a place in me that I'm interested. There's nothing interested. Why? Why did he find nothing in him? He was sinless. He had no heritage from Adam.
Yes.
Amen. And I believe that this is what Hebrews is trying to tell us. Let us lay aside, amen, the fatty bulges and the sin that does so easily. By the way, when you have sin, sin attracts more sin, doesn't it?
Yes.
It's attractive. It opens the door for other things. Amen. Now, let me look in Luke, the 15th chapter, verse 16. Keep your finger there in Hebrews. We're going to go back there in a minute. Not to the same chapter, though. Luke 14, verse 16. We're talking about the prodigal son here. 14. Oh, no, wait a minute. I'm in Luke 15. Luke 15, 16.
Okay.
There, I got the wrong place. Yeah, okay. Now, you know, there are certain things that give us comfort. And the fact that we get comfort from certain things opens us up to desire these things. Sometimes people take comfort in alcohol. Sometimes people take comfort in association with animals, even unclean animals. And here's the prodigal son, and he's gone so far from the father's house that he's associating with pigs. And he's about ready to take comfort in the food that pigs are eating. Look at this in verse, what verse did I say it was going to be? Verse 16. It says, I'll go back here, verse 14. It says, when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. How many of you believe we might be in a time of a mighty famine?
Wow. Amen.
Now, I'm not talking about all the rain we've had. I'm not talking about Texas. I'm talking about a famine for the Word of God, for the real, true Word of God. Amen. He was in a famine. And you know, I wonder sometimes if God doesn't have to bring a famine to get some hunger out of people. You know? It says, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. Now, it doesn't say anything about him joining himself to a believer, does it? He was just a citizen, just a man out having a business, making some money on his pigs, you know? So he sent him out to feed the pigs. And he would fain have filled his belly. That word fain means he would gladly have filled his belly with the husks, amen, that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He was ready to take comfort with the pigs. And you know, I think comfort is one of the means of attachments of these unclean things that we have. Sometimes we don't give something up because we get comfort out of it. Do you know, even sickness? We even get comfort out of sickness. Well, how do you do that? Do you ever hear about the sick role? People play a sick role. You're expected to do certain things when you're sick.
Yeah, I heard that.
We were listening to a man down in Atlanta last weekend. What was the brother's name? Do you remember? That was laying on the gurney. He had surgery. He's from the Atlanta Fellowship. He's one of the Nigerian brethren there.
I don't know. George.
George, I think, was his name. Yeah. George, if you're hearing this message, we're talking about you. I don't know where this is going to go. Anyway, he said that he went in for surgery. They put him asleep. He didn't say what kind of surgery. And he was supposed to stay there for how long? A number of days. And he said the power of God hit him. And he got up off that gurney and he said, I'm out of here. He said, I wouldn't have been here in this meeting today if I hadn't done this. Now, here's a man that did not play the sick role very well. Doctors and nurses like patients that play the sick role well. You're supposed to behave yourself and be sick the way we expect you to be sick. Amen?
Hypochondria.
Yeah. Hypochondria is people who are really playing the sick role a little too much. Okay? And yes. But, you know, by the power of God, God might say, you're not sick anymore. Get up and get moving. But you see, people like the attention that they get. And, you know, just always talking about, oh, I have this weakness. Oh, I can't breathe good. Oh, I have this. Oh, I have that. Come on. Start talking about the power of God to deliver you from that thing. You know? When you give word to a thing, you're giving life to it.
Uh-huh. Your word is life.
And when you're always talking about the power of the devil, oh, how great the devil is, you're giving life to him. Talk about how he's defeated and how God has the power. Amen.
Amen.
You know, I've heard people say, how are you? Oh, the devil's been after me all week. Bless his holy. Yes, I heard people say that.
That's crazy.
What are you saying, man?
Really?
You meant to say bless the Lord, but you actually didn't say it that way.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right, now, sin also gives pleasure. And that's another reason that people hold on to it. Let me give you a verse in Hebrews chapter 11. I said we're going back to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25. Now, we're talking about Moses, so let's go back to verse 24. It says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years... What does that mean, come to years? How old was he? How many years had he come to? How many years had he come to when he made this decision?
Let's see, he was 40 years.
40 years?
That's all. He had come to years. Okay, what it means is that he had come to a place of maturity. When he had come to make a decision out of the maturity of what he understood was going on, he had been thinking about it, he'd been saying to himself, am I going to spend the rest of my life in Pharaoh's house, or am I going to identify with my true people, the people of God out there who are walking in slavery to this day? When he had come to years, it says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
Amen. Son of Pharaoh's daughter.
Amen.
You see, why didn't they just say, refuse to be called the son of Pharaoh? Words are important in the Bible. Son of Pharaoh's daughter. You see, a woman speaks of church.
Yeah.
And he could have been the chief of this church of Pharaoh's daughter. It would have been a pagan church. It wouldn't have had any life. But he could have been the captain of it. But no, he made another choice and he became a great leader in another church, didn't he?
Yes.
The church of God's people.
Yes.
Now I know they don't use the word church in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
They just say God's people. But church is simply a word. It's a Greek word. It means called out. Were these people not called out? Were they not seed of Abraham, who was called out of what? Mesopotamia, wasn't it? Yes, he was called out. Then they had to be called out of Egypt. Amen. Then they had to be called out time and time again from their idolatry. God keeps calling us out, doesn't he? Because we get in. We get into things we weren't supposed to get into, and we have to get called out again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Called out of Babylon, too. Yes, amen. He says, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, he knew what he was deciding. He knew the choice he was making. He knew the price he was going to have to pay. These people are slaves in the natural. You want to identify with them? You're going to suffer. Is that the choice you want to make?
Mm-hmm.
Look around and see the true people of God. Do they suffer?
Yes.
Yes. Do they suffer persecution sometimes?
Yes.
Yes. Probably to the degree that their light shines.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And when I look in my margin at that word pleasures, it says the passing pleasures of sin. In other words, these things are not permanent.
Right.
They're not enduring.
Right.
These little pleasures last a few minutes. Sometimes the hangover from them lasts a lot longer than that, but I don't call that much pleasure. The guilt from these things lasts for days, weeks. How can we call that pleasure? Because it's only a very brief pleasure. Mm-hmm. And these are the ways these things hold on to us. Amen? It's a spice. Spice. Do you know... Do you know what it is that would cause a man to stray from his wife and go after another woman? It wouldn't be anything physical, natural.
No.
Not if she's a good, faithful woman. No. He's after some kind of spiritual spice. That's what it's at. That's what it's all about. And these are the things. See, when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had a yearning for spices.
Yeah, they did.
In the natural. And it was recorded in the Bible because they had that yearning for idolatry, which was a spiritual spice. A whoring after other gods. They wanted some new exciting thing, which was a spice to their soul. And they said, well, we longing for the leeks and garlics of Egypt. There was nothing wrong with the food they had. They wanted spice. They wanted flavorings. Amen. This gospel, this wilderness thing, it's too boring. Day after day, same old thing, same old desert, same old manna. We used to have spice when we were back in Egypt. Yeah, you had slavery. You felt the spice of the taskmaster's whip on your back too. Did you like that kind of spice? No, they didn't. But the one goes with the other, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So, another means of attachment. I'm just listing three here. I'm saying comfort, spice, and fear. Another reason we don't get deliverance is because of fear. We're afraid. We're afraid to confront the devil. Amen. I never forget this cartoon. It keeps coming to my mind every time this subject comes up. Here's a cartoon of a man laying in a hospital bed. His legs are all in these casts. You know, remember when they used to have these little pulleys that would come up? He was in these little pulleys, you know, and putting traction on his. Do they still do that? They probably got more sophisticated, but they had to put pressure on them. This is when I learned to be a nurse, you know. You had to run these through all these little pulleys, and you couldn't dare bump the pulleys because it would cause pain. And anyway, this guy's laying there all bandaged up, everything, the head bandaged up, you know, and he's in IVs running, and his preacher comes in and he says, "Rebuke the devil." And the man says, "I'm in no shape to take on a fight with anybody." Well, he was afraid. Well, that was the thing that made me laugh so, is the man was afraid because of his condition. He thought if he took on the devil, he was going to get beat up even more. So, you know, people have the attitude, well, if I leave the devil alone, he'll leave me alone.
Resist the devil, he shall flee.
But people say, oh, I'm not going to, you know, they use the term, don't kick at sleeping dogs.
Yeah, here's the problem.
The devil's quiet, don't kick at him. Or he'll bite you.
Okay.
You know what? He's going to bite you anyway. His desire is to destroy everything that God has made. And he sees what God has made in you, and he will take every opportunity to destroy it.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter whether you kick at him or whether you don't. You might as well kick at him with the blood of Jesus Christ and give him some wounds.
Yeah.
Some serious wounds. Amen. You might as well rebuke him.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You might as well get deliverance from him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid. Now, let me read a couple verses about fear. 1 John, let's look in 1 John 4:18. That's just before Revelation, is 1 John 4:18. And it says here, I'll go back to verse 16. Well, let's go back to verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath toward us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Hallelujah.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness.
Amen.
Hello?
Yep.
How many of you want to have boldness?
Amen.
Not timidity, not shyness. Boldness.
Amen.
In the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Well, praise God.
Amen. There is no fear in love.
Amen.
But perfect love casts out fear. Now, how do you get delivered from fear?
Boldness.
Love. What takes care of your fear? Love. Whose love? God's love. Do you believe what it said here, that if you've confessed him, amen, that he dwells in you and his love dwells in you? All right, if you believe that, then you know that that love is able to cast out the spirit of fear. I said the spirit of fear. Amen. And the spirit of fear keeps us bound to other things as well. See, these spirits interlock with one another. Yeah. Amen. Oh, yes. Somebody had a revelation of this a long time ago, that they saw it as two fingers. Two hands, I mean, with fingers interlocking. And when somebody has to get delivered, you don't just get delivered like that. You pull them off one at a time. It was a famous book from the 1960s. Any of you ever see that book, Pigs in the Parlor?
Yeah.
It's a great book. What was the author's names on those? Do you remember? It's still a great book. If you can still find it, I'm sure you could find it on Amazon or places like that.
When were we?
No, not that book. No, it was a husband and wife that wrote the book. They had done a lot of work on deliverance. Amen. But what they were talking about specifically was the spirit of schizophrenia. And what were the main two? Do you remember what the main two were? The strong men on these things? I think fear was one of them. Bernie, what was it?
Frank Hammond.
Hammond. Frank, and what was his wife's name? Hammond. Yeah, Hammond was the authors of that book.
He was in Stormfield Church.
Was he? He came all the way over to our place. Yep. Praise the Lord. Good people, I'm sure. I read that book in the early 70s. I tell you, it just I learned a lot from it.
Yeah.
Really did. Learned a lot from it.
Really?
What's the title? Pigs in the Parlor.
Yeah.
I think it was the woman that was writing it first. She says, "You wouldn't open your parlor up to allow pigs to come in and live. Why would you allow these demon pigs to live in your soul?"
Amen. Amen.
Kick them out.
Yeah, amen.
They don't belong there.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So their perfect love casts out fear. Let me go to 2 Timothy 1:17. 2 Timothy 1:17. We'll try to keep it fairly short here today. 2 Timothy 1:17. 2 Timothy. Did I say 2 Timothy? Indeed I did. 1:17. No. I should have said 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. I'm going to read verse 6 because it kind of follows along with some of the things Randy shared with us earlier. He says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands." Stir it up. How do you get the gifts going? Stir them up. In other words, if you just allow them to lie dormant,
hallelujah,
they'll go to sleep. Stir them up. They need to be awakened.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. "For God has not given us the spirit of fear," and that word fear really means timidity. Amen. "But of power and of love and of a sound mind."
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
You say, "Oh, I just think I'm going to go crazy." No, you're not. The Word of God says He's given you a sound mind. Yes. Confess that you have a sound mind.
Yes.
Don't confess, "Oh, I think I've taken all I can, I'm going to break." No. Confess that God has given you power, amen, and love. And love does what? It casts out what?
Fear.
And a sound mind. And the fear that we were talking about in John was a different kind of fear. That fear, I think, is called phobia, which is really fear. Phobic.
Yeah.
Phobos, yeah. But this fear is timidity. So God doesn't want us timid or phobic.
That's right.
We're not anything phobic. Amen? Hydrophobic or any other kind of phobics. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, how do we get loosed? And I'm not going to give you everything about getting loose, but Luke 11, I'll just give you an outline here. You can apply it in any way the Lord gives you the ability to do so. Luke 11 is verse 20. "Now they were accusing Jesus. He had cast out some demons, and they said, 'Well, you must be doing this through Beelzebub.'" Beelzebub. You know what Beelzebub means?
Lord of the flies.
Lord of the flies. By the way, they made a movie of that in the 1960s. Do you ever hear it? Ever see it?
It was Samuel Golding wrote a novel about, for those who haven't read it, a plane that was carrying
boys,
school boys.
Yeah.
English school boys. And they came from different, like what they call public schools in Britain, mm-hmm. you know, which are basically private prep schools where the elite go to. And they crashed on a tropical island.
And they turned into little monsters.
Yes, they did, because. And the ones that were the worst of the monsters were the ones that went to their church school.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Very interesting.
It was definitely some lessons involved with that. And one of the important lessons that has to do with between what Golding was trying to impart and what the verse says, going back to it, that you could have a background that says, well, you know, your background, your credentials, you're this, you're that, you know, should have stopped you from any of that stuff mm-hmm. that happened later. Well, guess what? It didn't. And above all, it can't.
Yes.
It
was just, they thought they had the power of their culture,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have the real, genuine power of Jesus Christ in them.
Oh.
And their little society disintegrated very fast.
Oh, yeah.
And they were at the point where they were ready to kill the one boy. And in the movie, you saw the white pants of the naval officer suddenly come on the scene, and you just saw him, and then the camera moved up, and it was the presence of the adults, of the naval officers, coming onto this island that stopped the murder of boys killing one another over stupid things. To understand the sin that is in us, that we need the power of the blood of Jesus Christ to overcome.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
That's right. Amen?
And Jesus said, his answer was, but I, with the finger of God, cast out devils. No doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you.
Amen.
If I, with the finger of God... Now, brethren, in our own power... we can do nothing against these spirits.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
But call on the name of Jesus, and by the finger of God, he can set you free.
Amen.
God, I want your finger in my life.
Amen. Mm. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then he says, and when a strong man armed keepeth his palace, its goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him, and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherein he trusted, and divideth his spoils. So you see, it isn't just enough to bind the strong man, and we need to identify what the strong man is. See, because I think this is what Hebrews is talking about. The besetting sin is the strong man, and it may be different in every one of us. Fear may be the strong man in some. Lust may be the strong man in another. Love of money may be the strong man in another one.
Amen.
Do you follow what I'm saying? Whatever the man has about to sold his soul out to, that one is the strong. And when you come against the strong man, and by the way, from experience, we found out that he sends out his guard dogs first.
Oh.
Yeah, he sends his what do you call them?
Underlings.
Yeah, and you go after a couple of underlings, and you think you've took the stronghold. You haven't.
No, there's.
You just beat up a couple of dogs. That's all.
Yeah.
And the strong man is wisely holding back. He's not going to reveal himself. Brethren, with our deliverance, we need to keep pressing in.
Yes, amen.
Don't be satisfied just to say I killed a couple of dogs. The big guy is still waiting there. And he knows enough to be quiet when it's time to be quiet and not be barking. The one that's barking might be the one you give your attention to. We're just talking about deliverance here, all right? This is the words of Jesus, okay? Then again he said, Matthew 17:21. The disciples asked him why they couldn't cast out this epileptic spirit.
Right.
And I don't know if you've ever tried to deal with epileptic spirits, but I'll tell you, they are very difficult. A lot of sickness spirits are very difficult, by the way, because they've got a hold on your body as well. You know,
it's the mind, really.
Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, why couldn't we? He said, because of your unbelief. Where do we believe or unbelieve? Where do we believe or unbelieve? It's in our mind, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Randy read the verse, to everyone has been given the measure of faith. So it's not a matter of lacking faith, it's a matter of unbelief. Mm-hmm. If you believe, you have the faith.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. For verily I say unto you, if ye shall have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Now for many, many years, a certain number of years in my youth, I used to say, well, one day a man is going to look at that hill and he's going to say, be removed and go to the sea. And I expected the rocks to start rumbling, you know, and the shaking, and this whole hill was going to start working its way down to the sea. Well, see, I have to confess, I had a lot of natural thinking in my mind. But one day I saw it as a spiritual thing. What is my problem? My problem is there's a spiritual mountain in front of me and I can't get over it, I can't get around it, and I can't get through it. I can't seem to overcome this thing. And God is saying, I will speak to that impossibility that has been hindering me in my life, and I will say, be gone.
Amen.
Be gone into the sea. Hallelujah. And it shall remove. And I tell you, I have seen then those mountains remove the obstacles that was preventing me from walking in my calling in the kingdom of God. They had to go. And I'm telling you, I fought them just as much as any one of you are fighting them today. Even the one of you that believes you're one of the newest Christians that are fighting and struggling with things, yes, we fought them too.
Yeah.
We who are mature, we fought the same things that you're fighting. We didn't just come in and inherit some high place by our birth. We did not.
Amen.
We came through the trenches the same way that every one of us are going to come through. Hallelujah. How be it, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. In other words, you're going to have to pay a price too.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to invest something in your deliverance.
Right.
It's not just step back and say, oh well, the people here don't have no power no more. They can't lay hands on me and can't get me delivered. What about your investment?
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I tell you, I've seen some of the most dramatic deliverance come about when somebody rose up and said, get out of me.
Amen.
And named the devils. And they got released because they were sick of them. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Now, one other thing. I'm just giving you an outline here. We've got to get rid of the accessories.
Mm-hmm.
accessories. Do you know what I mean? I suppose we could talk about a religious spirit. You know? How do you get rid of a religious spirit? Well, for one thing, you get rid of the accoutrements that attract it. You got a Catholic spirit that you grew up with? Get rid of all those pictures on the wall. Take all those crucifixes out. Take those rosary beads out. Destroy them.
Well, they can scar your mind too, that stuff.
Get rid of the paraphernalia.
Right. That's mine.
That attracts those spirits.
Mm.
You know, I go into houses, people are believers. How long have you been a believer? Well, they got this picture of Jesus with a big flaming heart there on the wall. It's a Catholic thing.
It is.
It is not the real Jesus.
Amen.
It's not the Jesus that set me free. It is not the Jesus who gave his blood for me.
Amen.
It's a religious Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I want to give you an example. In Acts chapter 19, I will give you two examples and then we'll close. Acts chapter 19, Paul and the brethren are preaching in Ephesus, I believe it is. You know what I'm going to talk about here, don't you?
Yeah.
Let me just go back a little bit. This is right after the sons of Sceva were beaten up by that spirit. Okay. Sons of Sceva, these seven Jewish men fled naked and wounded from one man. That was one evil spirit in this man. Okay. It says, and this was known to all the Jews and Greeks also dwelling at Ephesus, and fear. Amen. This is a fear of God now.
Yeah.
This is a good kind of fear. Amen. Fear fell on them all, and the name of Jesus Christ was magnified. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts. Amen. Occultic things, practiced magic, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. 50,000 pieces of silver. Let's say they were 1 ounce pieces of silver. What's the price of 1 ounce of silver today, Larry?
1 ounce is $41.
Well, let's round it off to 40. Yeah, we won't go right there. $40 times 50,000.
You can't do it on the calculator.
$2 million.
$2 million?
Oh yeah.
$2 million. Yes. I'm glad we got good mathematicians here. $2 million worth of stuff burning in the street that was a cause. It caused the hold on the soul of these people.
Right. Amen.
I'll make another confession to you. In my naive days as a naive Christian, I bought one of these little trinkets, and it had a what are those 12 signs?
Zodiac.
Oh, thank God, I've even forgotten the word zodiac. It had one of those signs on it. It was a gift for somebody in my family. And soon after I bought it, I began to get into some really good literature, like The Pigs in the Parlor and stuff like that. And I realized that I had brought into my house an open door to the spirit of Scorpio.
Yeah. Or Aries, or any of them.
Or any of them.
Right.
And I was so convicted of this thing that I went out on the concrete of the road with a hammer. I hammered this thing into total unrecognizable shape, flattened it out, hammered it into. Then I took it and I threw it as far as I could throw it. I wanted nothing to do with those spirits. I'm telling you, you want to get free, there's ways to get free, brethren. You fill in the blanks of what it is. Books, what have you, pictures. Man troubled with lust, get rid of all the porn.
Right.
Get to the point where you can go on the computer, these ugly things flash.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean a thing. Doesn't mean a thing. Delete. You know? No, no. Not curious. Not oh, I wonder what's behind that picture. I wonder what'll happen if I... No, I don't care. Not interested.
Amen.
Not interested. Come on.
Amen.
Brethren, we got to get free of these things. We can't carry that stuff into the kingdom of God. You cannot go through the narrow gate with that stuff on your back. You will not fit.
You won't make it.
One or the other has to come off.
Right.
That's what it means by a camel can't get through with his humps.
Yeah.
The baggage that he's carrying.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let me give you, do I have time to give you one more quick example?
Yeah.
Yes. Otherwise I wouldn't be complete here. I want to go to Judges chapter 6 and I wish I could preach the whole chapter 6 of Judges, but I can't. But this will stir you up to want to get into Judges. Do you know what I mean when I say Judges chapter 6? You know who we're going to talk about? We're going to talk about Brother Gideon. Now, I'm just going to talk about the call of Gideon. Amen. Gideon was afraid. How many of you believe me when I say Gideon was afraid?
Yeah.
Where was Gideon when God called to him? He was hiding in a wine press.
Yes, he was.
He was hiding so that he could thrash out a little handful of wheat that the Midianites wouldn't steal it from him. These Midianites were thugs. They catch you with a handful of food, they'd steal it from you. Do you understand the bondage that these poor people were in to these Midianites? And in this wine press, hiding from the Midianites, the word of the Lord comes and says, calls him, "Thou mighty man of valor." Who, me? Mighty man of valor? You know, God saw something in the man's heart. But he also saw that the man needed to be delivered from the idolatry of his father's house before he could really manifest the kingdom of God as a mighty man of valor.
Right.
And so the first thing that God asked him to do, and I'll just read a couple verses, verse 25, after he was sure that it was God, he tested him out, you know, brought an offering and everything else. And it came to pass that same night that the Lord said unto him, "Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old." By the way, does anybody have any idea what a bullock is worth today in today's markets down at the... down where they auction off cattle?
Thousands.
A couple thousand at least, and if it's a real good bull, it might be worth more than that. But just a cow, a couple thousand. The prices of beef are up, brethren. So let's say a couple thousand dollars, he's going to have to invest something. Something that has a cost. Okay, take the bullock, 7 years old. Isn't that interesting? He chose the seven-year-old. God likes that number, doesn't he?
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Seven-year-old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. The grove means the Ashtoreth. So we're taking down Baal and Ashtoreth, which is the male and the female idolatry, which is a very sexual oriented, amen, worship, fertility, all that business. You know what I mean? Dagon to the Philistines, the god of Dagon, their sexual lust. Amen. Throw it down, Gideon. It doesn't belong. And build an altar unto the Lord thy God on the top of the rock. In other words, where that thing was in your soul, you're going to have an altar to God.
Yes, amen.
That place in your soul is not going to go empty. It's got to be filled with something, okay? In the ordered place, and take the second bullock, that would be the older bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. In other words, the very thing that caused you to stumble and fall is now going to be the fire that is going to move you on into God. The fiery trial, it's going to push you on into the things of God. And Gideon, you're going to have to pay a price for this. Okay? It says, and Gideon took 10 men of his servants. You know, you don't do this alone. Sometimes you need help.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you need the 10 men of the body of Christ to help you. 10 means the order of perfection.
Yes.
The full order of perfection. Okay? And did as the Lord said to him, and so it was, because he feared his father's house and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, he did it by night.
Mm-hmm.
Well, get it done. Get it done. Day or night, get it done. Amen? And he went out in the darkness, probably appropriate because these were spirits of darkness. Amen? And when the men of the city arose in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash has done this thing. Somebody knew it was done. Somebody had the word. Amen? And the men of the city said to Joash, that's his father, bring out thy son that he may die. Bring out. These are children of Israel, brethren. Had they forgotten the commandment of Moses that they were not to have this stuff in their house?
Yeah.
And I can't understand these religious people having these religious icons in your house. It's the same thing. God said, I don't want any representatives, any images, any pictures, or any such thing that represent me in your house.
Amen.
Did they forget? They must have. Because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said, thank God his father had a little bit of spine left in him. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. You don't need to defend the God. He is able to defend himself. If Baal is the God, let him rise up and defend himself. And of course, you know the rest of the story, how Gideon became a great overcomer, how the Gideon 300 army was chosen. Amen. And great numbers of Midianites were routed and slain and annihilated. And the bondage, the point is, the bondage on the house of God's people was lifted.
Amen.
We have the power.
Amen.
We have the blood.
Amen.
We have the word of faith.
Amen.
Brethren, we have the authority.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, we have the authority. And I want you to know, every one of you here, you can be delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, can I mention your name?
Yeah.
This man was set in prison one day, weren't you?
Yeah.
Look at him today.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mighty man of valor, trusting in the Lord.
Amen.
Moved by the Spirit of God.
Yes, amen.
Amen. I hope I didn't embarrass you to say that.
Amen.
But what a story of deliverance.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Praise God.